Okay, the case. I took it from Mishpatech El Yaakov, which was previously the initial Chana Pesach Shlomo Zalman, Olah Halashal, and afterwards, I saw that also Rabbi Shvistios with that. I think I'd seen it, but I forgot to look at it. So we'll base our presentation on Mishpatech El Yaakov, which I think from briefly looking at now is a little bit more complete than Rabbi Shvistios' presentation. So the case is like this. If you saw the email, he talks about a teacher who confiscated Mechtaviot. I don't know what they are. It's a few Israelis. Mechtaviot, something writing. We'll call it a computer game, just for making contemporary in America. She confiscated a computer game from one of the kids in the class, and she put it in the closet, and the day after, when she was going to return it to the student, she saw it was missing. It was missing from the closet. And the closet had not been locked. It was a clear case of Torah, a clear case of Pshia. She just kept it in the closet unlocked. And the question is, does she have to pay and go to the store and buy a new game to give to the child? But that's the case of Mishpatech El Yaakov. Now, I'll just preview some of the issues he talks about that we're not going to talk about tonight, because we're focusing on the Shomrim part of it. The first issue, he talks about who owns a game that a child takes to school. Right, who's the owner of it? Right, do the parents own it? Do the parents own it, or does the child own it? Now, what's the nafkamina, who owns it? Because you could say like this. If the parent owns the game, so then we could say when the parent enrolls the child in school, the parent knows that if part of the deal is that the child plays with the game in class, the parent understands that and is willing that the teacher should take it away because the parent wants the child to listen in class, not to play with the game. But if the child owns the game, you can't say, well, the child wants that if he doesn't listen, the teacher should take it away. And the child doesn't listen, so lishma. The child wants to play with the game. Right? So that's why it would be important to know who really owns the game. So the Mishpatech El Yaakov says simply, based on the Mishnah, right, there's a halacha that the Mishnah Gittin Nun Tesamad Aleph, that when a child reaches the age of pu'utos, meaning they're able to do business, the Gemara says 6, 7, 8, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, when a child is 6 and can understand about business, buying and selling, they have an idea about buying and selling, when a child is that old, so at that point what they acquire is a good kinyan, and what they give up is they can buy and sell. They have the right to buy and sell. When a child is already 6 years old, they have the ability to buy and sell if they have that das. Right? That's a kinyan derabbanan. So if a parent gives a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old child a game, and that child knows how to buy and sell, which could very likely be the case, so in that case, the child owns the game. And when the child takes it to school, we should say, based on what we said before, that the child doesn't want the teacher to take it away if he's playing with it, so the teacher should have no right to take it away. If the parent owns it, the parent is on the school side. The parent wants the teacher to take it away. The child will listen. The parent's not paying tuition, that the child should be playing with games. The child could be playing games home cheaper.
The child didn't like it, he's coming to school on condition that certain rights, like, I mean, unfortunately, public schools, in theory, the right of speech, although it's somewhat constrained, we're not very constrained, right. You know, and Jewish school clearly, and private schools clearly important rights.
Yeah, but
even
if one is one,
right, right, so he's
off there.
Yeah, so but he says, but the Mishpatech El Yaakov says a svara like that. He says, okay, you're right, the child doesn't willingly give up his right to the game when he's not behaving with it in class. But if you own property, you own a business, you have the right to set rules. You can say, I don't want you to bring this into my yard. If, you know, if I have my backyard and you decide, here, I'd like you to watch my my elephant today, I can say, I don't want it here. Take it and get it out of here.
No,
it's not allowed in my
store.
Property.
No food and drink in store.
Right, that's right. And a teacher at a school, and a school with its workers, with its employees, the teachers have the right to say, we don't want games in class when you're supposed to be learning. So they had that right. He brings the machlokas, Rambam and Rush, whether you have to at least let them know that you're getting rid of it, or maybe you don't even have to let them know. But certainly, he concludes that I'm saying that's not our issue, but just to get to where we want to get, he concludes that the teacher does have the right to take it away, because the school has the right to make rules. The teacher is enforcing the school's rules, even though the game might be owned by the child, and probably is owned by the child if the child is higiyah onus hapu'utos, the school has the right to take it away. Now, so that's the next point. Now, as long as the school day is going on, the school has the right to take it away, and the teacher would not be considered a shomer at all. You brought this here. Well, I don't want to be your shomer. I'm not being mekabel shmira. You brought it here under your own risk. You got taken away, and I'm not a shomer. I can't be mazik it. I can't throw it away. Mistama, but I'm certainly not a shomer. But when the day ends, when the school day ends, and I choose not to give it to you, when the school day ends, I have the right to do that also. I could say, you know, you bring a game in, you're going to lose it for a week. But at that point in time, when the school day ends, and I'm deciding to keep it for the week, so at that point I become a shomer. Because what right? I know if I'm keeping it for the week, but I have to watch it. I can't just let it go down to, you know, let someone steal it. I have the right to take it. But that doesn't give me the right that it should go hefker, that it should get stolen or lost or messed up. So during the school day, then I'm not even a shomer because you brought it in and you have no right to bring it in and I can wash my hands of it. I'll just take it away from you and I don't care what happens to it. But as soon as the school day ends, the Mishpatech Yaakov says, I become a shomer. I have the right to do it. I have the right to say, you can't say it, I'll give it to you at the end of the year. I'll give it to you in 10 years. I'll get it in your chasana. But I'm a shomer in the meantime. Now, what type of shomer am I? And this also we're not going to talk about tonight detail. The main point we're going to get to soon. What type of shomer am I? So you could say, I'm a shomer sachar, because I'm getting paid to teach, right? The teacher's getting paid to teach. And therefore, she should be a shomer sachar, bichaya for Gneva Vaveda. Right. Part of the salary, so that's what he says. The salary is not to be a shomer of the objects that you take. The salary is to teach, and the salary is that you could confiscate things. You had that right, but when you become the shomer of the things that you confiscated, you at that point you're a shomer chinam only, because even though you're getting paid to teach. You're not getting paid to watch the articles that you confiscate from the kids that are playing with them in class. So you'd be a shomer chinam. So based on that, we should say. That the teacher that confiscated the game from the child in class and kept it after class, put it in the closet in a way where without it was unlocked and anyone could come and take it, and someone did come and take it, we should l'chora say the teacher's a posheya, the teacher was posheya, and she should have to reimburse the child for the game that got lost because she's a shomer chinam and there was kashia. His assumption is that during the day when I'm teaching, you don't need any rules. The fact that you're playing with that in the middle when I'm teaching, that is pashut that I have to stop that and remove it from your possession and keep it somewhere else. You shouldn't have brought it here. By bringing it here without my permission, I'm not a shomer, and you have to suffer the consequences. When the school day ends, at that point, now we have a new issue. So now the issue is, well, I think for the deterrent, I want to hold it for you for a week to prevent you from doing it again. At that point, okay, you can hold it for me, but you're a shomer chinam. During the day when you're teaching, I can't teach when you're playing with the game. Okay, so let's assume that it is a shomer. Let's assume he's right. And we're going to deal with the issue tonight we're going to deal with is a... it's really a side issue in this case, but it's very nogeya lamaisa. And that is there such a din as being a shomer for a katan? If a katan gives you something to watch, are you a shomer? Like, forget this case. Suppose your next door neighbor is going away on vacation, and the little kid next door says, can you wash my bicycle for me while I'm away? And you say yes, you merkabel shmira, you make a kinyan on the bicycle, like we said, you said you're going to be a shomer on the bicycle, and you end up leaving it out in the front lawn and you don't lock it up at night, and it gets stolen. You are posheya in that shmira of the child's bicycle, are you chayiv? That's the issue that we're going to deal with. Whereas even if you want to say, the teacher is a shamechinam, and she should be chayiv on pshia, is there a din shmira for a katan at all? Why should there not be a din of shmira for a katan at all? So that's based on a mishnah. The truth is, it's not a clear halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's based on the mishnah Shavuos, Lamed Ches Amid Beis. The parak starts over there with the mishnah. It says, Ein Ishbayin Al Tainis Chayir Shota VeKatan. There's no shvua if a Chayir Shota and or Katan makes a taina. You know, mid a raisa, there's three shvuas to a raisa. There's Madav and Miktas. I say you owe me $100 and you say it's only 50. So you Madav and Miktas, you have to swear mid a raisa about the other 50. If I say you owe me $100 and I have one witness supporting me, if I have two witnesses, I win the case. If I have one witness, I can force you to make a shvua mid a raisa. And the third shvua de araisa, is a shvua sashamrim. If I gave something for you to watch, and you say you don't have it anymore, I can make a shvua de araisa that is not pirshuso, and whatever claim you said, it got lost, it got stolen, is true. Right? Those are the three shvua de araisas. So the Mishnah just says, simply, ein ishbayin al tainis cheyer shota v'katan, and it gives cases of modi v'miktas and eid echot. The Gemara asks on Membeis, my time, what's the reason Omikra brings a pasuk in the Parshas Hashomrim in Mishpatim? Ki yitein ish al re'eyu kesev okeilim lishmar. If someone gives his friend silver or utensils, vessels to watch, and it gets stolen, so the pasuk continues. If when you find the ganav, so then you go to the court, you make a shvua, and the Gemara makes a drasha. That Ray, it says ki yitein ish aray, when a man a golo gives a object to his friend, then he can force the other person to make a shvua. But einasin is katan klum. If a katan gave something to his friend, there's no din of he can't force that other person to make a shvua. Right? Ish velo katan. There's a miut that a katan can force a litigant, his litigant, to make a shvua. Now it would seem, since the pasuk is in the parsha of Shomrim, that it would apply, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it would apply just like it applies that he can't force his litigant to make a shvuah modim b'miktas when he agreed and admitted part of the claim, or he can't force him to make a shvuah when there's one witness going against him. The same thing will be if he has someone watching something of his, and that person says, it got stolen, I don't know where it is, the katan cannot force that litigant, that shomer, to make a shvua. Right? And that's, in fact, what the Ravid holds. Since the pasuk is written by Shvuas HaShomrim, and the pasuk says, and the Gemara says, Re'ish velo katan, a man and not a katan, so a katan can't force a gadol, or can't force a shomer to make a shvua. Like the Rambam, though, on the other side of the hand, like the Rambam holds that the Mishnah is dafka. The Mishnah gave us two cases of Modav Miktas and Shvuah Zayin Echad. The Rambam says, Katan Shihivke be a Gadol. If a Katan gave something to a Gadol, oh, he's Ila, or he lent it to him, he's a Shoel. Hareza ha Gadol nishma Shvuah Sashamim le Katan. The Gadol has to make a Shvuah Sashamim to that Katan. Haru Rabosai, my Rabbeim Paskin, the Rambam says, and we know this is the Rimigash, who was the Rambam's Rebbe. So the my Rabosai Paskin, She'ein zeh nishma b'tainas katan. There's no problem over here that here the Shomer is swearing as a result of the katan's taina, which we say, Kadesha nomai nishma b'tainas katan, so we should say that you don't have to make a shvua if a katan is your litigant forcing you to make an oath. She'kol ha-shomim shivuasa shvua shemahi. Whenever a Shomer makes a shvua, he's never swearing as a result of a clear taina against him. The taina is always, I was watching the bicycle for this person, and I say it got stolen, and he says, I don't believe you, swear to me. Right? I don't believe you, maybe you're lying. Right? Whenever there's a case of a shomer, the taina is always a taina of maybe. If it's motive and miktas, or yeid echa, there I say, I know I don't owe you that other $50. I know I don't owe you the $100 at all. So there I know I say, I know you owe me $100, I know you owe me the whole $50. So there, if I'm a cotton making that claim, I can't force you to swear because that's where it only comes as a result of a real taina. A katan can't make a taina. But a case of a shomer, the Rambam says, the case of a shvuah shomer is never coming from a real taina. It's just a gzeiros hakasav, that whenever something is missing from someone washing something, that the owner, the former owner, is allowed to force the shomer to make a shvuah. Even though he has no vaday tainus, the Rambam says there's no difference whether he's a katan or a gadol. Either way, the shomer will have to make a shvuah. Right? That, and the Magen Mishnah explains that based on that, that I, what do we do that the pasuk is written in the parsha of shomrim? So he says, pasuk gemar shvuah, gemar in Sanhedrin say there's ira parshas kasuv kan, even though a pasuk said over here by shomrim it applies to everywhere in mishpatim and really only applies to the mode of miktas and shvuahs eidafa.
Saying that the
innocence
comes
closer,
the sinner from the con to the godol is nothing. It's all because of
you mean the ravid.
In the Gemara.
The Gemara. Okay.
The innocence comes from. That's our ravid. We're saying that the
sinner
of the con. That's
what
we're trying to compare.
Well, that's what the ravid says. That's where the ravid argues with the Rambam. Right? The Rambam is talking svaras about the shvuah. He's talking about the shvuah. Right? He's not dealing with the Israel of our Yoshomer. He's dealing with the shvuah. If there is a chiyav shvua by a shomer, he says there's a difference between a chiyav shomer by a shvua and a chiyav shomer by a shvua by eid echad and moed v'miktas. The Ravid asks on the Rambam. He's masik on the Rambam right there. He says the Gemara, like you're saying, the Gemara says ein nesinas katan klum. A katan doesn't have any nesina at all. Right, yeah, that's lashon the Ravid. He says, "Im pikadin ein kan shvuah ein kan." So if his nesina is nothing, that means what he gave is not called a pikadin. If what he gave is not called a pikadin, so that undermines the whole parasha of shomrim to start with. Right, forget the details of zichayev shvuah or nachayev shvuah. There's no din of shmirah over here. You're not a shomer at all. What the katan gave you is meaningless because the pasuk says ish and prat lo katan. So once what he gave you is meaningless, you're not a shomer. It's like these cases we've had in the past where you weren't mekabel shmira, or it's, you know, like he said, hanach. Like in these cases, we're not a shomer at all. What the katan gives you is meaningless. So based on that, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam and says that this gemara in Shavuos goes much further than meets the eye. You think the gemara is just talking about halachas of shvuah, but once we bring a drasha that says the nesinas katan is nothing, that's telling us when it comes to a katan giving you something to watch, you're not a shomer at all, because there's no din of shomer when it comes to the property of a katan. So machlokas Rambam and Ravid, whether we say that's varna. The Rambam says no. All we're talking about is hilchos shvuah. There's a and there's not even a gzeiros hakos about the shvuah when it comes to shomer. He says the whole sugya is only talking about modeh v'miktas and eid echad, but Katan is a regular person that you become a shomer of, and you will have to make a shvuah to him also. It's like a regular gadol gave it to you. The Rambam says that's the same thing with, as a katan, as the same as a gadol in that respect. The Ravid says what a shomer gives you is the exact opposite. You're not even a shomer at all. You're nothing. You're not a shomer, so you're not chayiv to pay. You're not chayiv to make a shvuah, because you're not a shomer at all. It's paskin the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Sarivav, and also Simon Shin Beis. Paskin's like the Rambam. He holds that someone who's a shomer for a katan and he makes a taina that the thing got lost, he has to make a shvua, and if he doesn't make a shvua, he'll be chayiv. The Rama brings ye shomrim, the ein shvayin la shvua sa shomrim. You don't have to make a shvua sa shomrim, even though he was tovei when he became a gadol. The fact that the shanasin oizik ashayu katan, he says, v'chein yor le'yikr, the Rama paskins like the Ravid. Right, so at this point, we'd say very simply, Sfardim would certainly have to be considered a shomer. This teacher would have to be paid for a pshia. You'd have to pay your next door neighbor for the child's bike that he asked you to wash. According to the Rama, we'd have a way out, because the Rama says you're not a shomer at all. Just to see the extent that you're not a shomer, according to the Ravid. The Ran brings the Rashba, and the Shach brings it also. Brings this Rashba. It says that even if you're posheya, you're pater. Even if you're posheya, you're pater. Even if you are negligent, you're still pater, because you're not a shomer at all. The Shach disagrees. We'll see in a second. What's the Rashba's raya? So that's the second Gemara one we have on the handout. Bava Kama Tzadi Gimel Amar Aleph. The end of the last sugya in Perek HaChovel. The Gemara says, "Has a ma'isa ha'arnuka did tzedakah to us in the Plum Bedisa." There was a purse full of tzedakah that came to Plum Bedisa. It was collected and someone donated to the city of Plum Bedisa. And Rav Yosef, afkedei Rav Yosef gavei ha'gavei. Rav Yosef was the shamish or the gavei tzedakah, and he gave it over to a certain person to give it over to the aniyim. He said, "Here, we got this money in. Please give it out to this list of aniyim that I have, or not. Let's give it to the poor people." And unfortunately, Pashadei, the shomer, was pashay on it. Also, he left it unlocked, and robbers came and stole it. So Chivei Rav Yosef. Yosef said he's chayiv to pay. Amalei Abaye asked him, but the Brisa says, the Brisa that the Gemara brings right before that, Lishmar, the Pasuk says, if you give something to your friend, Ki Yitinish El Re'eh Kesev, okay, Lishmar, to watch it. That's only if you're giving it something. I want you to watch it, to guard it. But not if I say, Lo Lechalik L'Aniyim, not if I say, I'm giving this to you to distribute to Aniyim. I don't expect it back. I'm expecting you to give it to other people. In that case, you're not a Shomer. So, why should he be Chayiv? So the Gemara says that there's a certain reason why he'd be chayiv, because there they knew there were specific aniyim over there, so he was like a shomer for those people. But you see from this Gemara that in a case where when it's lishma v'lo l'chalak l'aniyim, when there's a miut of your shmira, meaning that it was given to you to distribute, so you're not called a shomer, even though you're posheya, the shomer here was posheya, even though he's posheya, he's pater. So the Rashba, the Ran quote says, it's the same thing. It's the same pasuk. We make a miut. Kiten ish below katan. Lishmar below chalak l'aniyim. The same pasuk that excludes a gabai tzedakah, someone who's distributing funds to aniyim, from having to pay 5 shia, will apply to a katan who gave you something to watch, since he's excluded from the dinim of shmira. So therefore, even if you're posheya, you'll be potter. But that's what the Rashba says. The Shach disagrees with that raya. It's a whole issue of in cases where the other miutim, like we'll talk about them, staros and karka, hektish, that are also excluded from this pasuk from Shmira. The Shach says it's only over there the person is going to be potter. The Shach's in Simen Samach Vav Kucha Vav on the second side of the handout. He says, over there, there's pasuk saying Lishmar below Lachalik L'Aniyim. You are not a shomer if it's Lachalik L'Aniyim. Right? The drush is Lishmar, not Lachalik L'Aniyim. If it's Lachalik L'Aniyim, you're not a shomer. But by Katan, the way he understands the drush, he's saying by Katan, it's not. He's talking about Shtaros, but he says the same thing applied to a Katan. That's not telling you you're not a shomer. That's just telling you that he can't force you to make a shvua. The katan can't force you to make a shvua, but it doesn't mean you're not a shomer. So the Shach is in between. To me, it seems like he's in between the Rambam and the Raivad as understood by the Rashba. Right? Once again, the Rambam held there's no difference between a katan and a gadol. The katan can make you make a shvuas hashomer because it's different than the other shvuas. There's no difference at all between a katan and a gadol, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Ramah passing like the Raivad, the way the Rashba understands it is that when a katan gives you something, it's like it's nothing at all. You're not a shomer at all. It's exactly like the case of lishmar v'lo aniyim, because the katan giving it to you is nothing. His nesina is nothing. That's the way the Raivad put it. His nesina is nothing. So in between that, it could be that that's the way the Ramaz means also, because Ramaz says Yeshem de'ein nishbayin lo shvua shomim shi shvua satara. Right? He just says there's no shvua, and that's the way the Shach understands it. The miut of ish v'lo katan, all he says he can't make yichayiv a shvua, but that doesn't mean that you're not a shomer. So there'd really be three opinions here. According to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, there's no difference between a katan and a gadol. If he asks you to wash something and you agree to take it, then you make the kinyan, you do all the rules of shmira, you'll be chayv for pshia, for anything, and you'll have to make a shvua. According to the Raivad, what the katan gives you is meaningless. You're not chayv at all. You're not chayv at all. And because of that, if you're posheya, you'll be pater also, the way the Rashba says. The Ramban says Karvan Ilam Hashem is Chayvid in Hashem. The Ramban is saying, I also am close to saying that you're not called Hashem El Shazetar Talmud. Right? The Ramban is on the way to saying that also. But the Shach, and it seems that's the way the Ramah is saying, is that the only exclusion here is from making you Chayv Shvuah, but a Shomer you are. Right? That would seem to be the three Shitas. The Shomer Mishmah has a Kasha, and those that hold that you're not called a Shomer when a Katan gives it to you, because there's a halacha in Siman Reish Sadi in Shulchan Aruch that if an apotropos, a guardian of a Katan, gives you something to watch for that katan, and you are posheya, so then you're chayiv according to everyone. You're chayiv because you're a posheya. So he asks, why is that different than the case of hektish, where we said, or like the aniyim, hektish also, there's no shmira by hektish, and the lacha is, if the gizbar gives you something of hektish to watch, and you're posheya in it, you're pater, because there's a miut of shmira from hektish. Why is the difference if the guardian gives you the katan thing to watch, you're chayiv? If the gizbar gives you something from hektish to watch, you're pater.
What's the
reason? Huh? Okay. Yeah, it's you.
Oh, okay, alright. Thing is, the apotropos is providing a godal identity
good.
His shame to that the katan is defective in.
Okay, so let me say it the way he says. He says like you're saying, but I'll just say a little sharper.
Okay.
He's saying hektish. He's saying much what you're saying. Hektish b'mitzias, hektish is excluded from the dinim of shmira. It doesn't matter how I got the hektish. Did I get it directly from hektish? I was watching where the gizbar gave it to me. There's no din of shmira by hektish. There's no such thing that there's no din of shmira by something belonging to a katan. It's just that a katan can't force me to. Not force me. There's no such thing as making a deal with a katan that I'm watching this thing from you, because a katan has no koach to make deals. But if there's an apotropos who is in charge of the katan through the bezdin, and apotropos has the right to make a deal, so I'm making a deal to the apotropos watching the katan's property. So that's a chilek between the katan's property and hektish. Right? Even the rivet who says there's no din of shmir by a katan, it's not because it belongs to a katan. It's not subject to shmir. It's because this is what you were saying. There's no, you can't make a deal with a katan. But if there's a gadol in charge, then you can make a deal with him. By hektish, be'etzim hektish is in shayach to
that's
to shmir.
But you can look at it the other way.
Right. Okay. But we I'm running out of time, so you can ask me afterwards. Okay. So based on this, at this point, we would say, what happens to this poor teacher over here? So this teacher was watching, we consider her a shomer, the confiscated goods that she took from the child. So it would depend, it's a big machlokas here. According to the Shulchan Aruch, she certainly would be chayiv because she's a shomer and she'd have to make a shvua. There's no difference between a katan and a gadol. According to the Ravid, she's home free, she's not a shomer at all, and there was no gadol in between there, right? She's not a shomer at all, she's pati even from Vipshia. But according to the Shach, and the way the Ramah seems to be saying, I think that's what the Ramah is saying, but the Shach certainly says, and the Shach says clearly, that if the Shomer himself knows that he was Poshaya, or we know the Shomer was Poshaya, so in that case, the only exclusion from Shmira by a Katan is that you don't make a Shvua, but you're still a Shomer, and if you're Poshaya, you're Chayiv. So according to that, the woman would because she knows she was Poshaya. The case that we've talked about, your next door neighbor, where you left the child's bicycle outside, for sure you were Poshaya, so you'd be chayiv to pay according to the Shach, and certainly according to the Ram and the Mechaber. The only thing you have is the Ravid, what the Shach disagrees with. So it would be a hard case to, if you want to do what's right, it would be hard to say I don't have to pay because it was a cotton that gave it to me. According to the Ramam, you have to. According to the Shach's understanding of the Ramah, you have to. It would be a hard thing to go away. He says at the end, though, in this case, by the teacher, she wasn't poshe at all. He says, because look, she put in a $5 game into this closet. And in that closet, there are all kinds of more expensive things. Each book costs $50. So if that's the normal way that in teachers' classes you keep things open and you keep expensive things in there, so you put a cheap little game in there, that's not called a pshia. I'm not sure if he's right about that part, because children don't tend to steal books, right? That's not something that they're interested in, and even though the books are worth much more, that I'd rather steal the $5 game than the $50 book. So, I'm not sure if he's right about that. Maybe that wasn't exactly, I don't understand the case exactly how it works in Eretz Yisrael. But that's what he wants to say, that it could be it's not a Pshia at all in that case. But once again, with more for us, if we're not teachers, we're just watching the child's bicycle next door, there we would have this machlokus. If we were Pshia, according to the Raman, we'd be Pater. We'd certainly be Chai, according to the Ravid, we'd be Pater. But according to the Shach, he said that if we know we were Pshia, we'd be Chai. But there's one last issue, which is not Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. The Chachma Shlomo asks why not. Gemara and Baba Basra, the last thing on the first side of the handout. Tanur Rabbanon, ein mekablin pikdonos, v'lo min hanashim, v'lo min ha'avodim, v'lo min ha'tinokos. You're not allowed to accept objects to watch from women, avodim, and tinokos. The issue is that maybe it didn't really belong to them. Maybe it belonged to her husband, maybe they ever took it from his master, and maybe the tinok stole it from somewhere. Don't take things from small children. They might have stolen this property. So, and if you're refusing to take it, they'll say, look, what am I going to do with it? They'll return it. So that's advice the Gemara gives. Don't take a pikadon from a katan. The Gemara, though, says that if he did, by the katan, yasela sugula, he shouldn't give it back to the katan. He should hold it until the child becomes a gadol, because it might be that the child did not steal it. So you have to hold it from him. You can't just... Well, you don't know what to do with it. You can't give it back to him because you're helping him steal. You have nothing else to do, so you hold it for him. The Gemara has a machlokes by a sefer Torah, a field, something that has a steady income, something that is a sure investment. Now, what happens if you give it back to the katan? So there's a machlokes who's shown him in that Gemara over there. The Rashbam says, if you give it back to the child, you'll be chayiv to pay l'chariv. So it's like throwing it la'ayvadon. It's like throwing it down the river. The Nebuka Yosef says, no, if you give it, we're just saying, lost is yedei shemayim, you shouldn't give it back. If you do give it back, though, you're not chai for anything, you didn't do anything terrible, we just say it's better for you to be a lechachil type person, it's better to hold it. The Chachma Shlomo and the Machan Ephraim both say that this machlokas of Shonim is dependent on the machlokas we just learned now. Because what's the difference whether you should, now you took it, right? This is halacha, you shouldn't take it from a cotton. By the way, you could take the bicycle from your next door neighbor, if you know that it's his bicycle, right? This is only talking where someone cotton comes to you and he gives you, can you watch this ring for me, this diamond ring? So you're like, where'd he get it? He must have taken it from somewhere. It's not his. You have to suspect it might not be his. But if you know that it's his, you see him riding the bicycle all the time, so then it doesn't apply. We're talking that you don't know about that. So what's as far whether you should give it back if you took it wrongly? So there, the Chachma Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, and Machna Ephraim say it depends on this old machlokas we just had the first part of this year. That is there a din shmira when you take something from a katan? According to the Rambam, you're a kaddish shomer, and the way the Shach seems to understand it, you're kaddish shomer. And once you got it from the katan, even though you shouldn't have taken it, you can't just give it back to him, because then you'll be posheya and you'll be chayya. According to the Ravid, you're not a shomer at all. So then Mukun Yosef could be holding like the Ravid. You're not a shomer at all. You took it wrongly, but he's a katan. So you're not a shomer. Just give it back to him and wash your hands of it, and you'll be through with it. So this is not Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. He asks, why not? I didn't see any answer. But that's just another issue. When we're talking about a katan, if it's a katan that you're not sure that it's his property, the Gemara advises, and the later poskim advise, not to take it from him because it might not be his. If you made a mistake and you took it, so there the poskim say, the Machan Ephraim says, the Shulchan Aruch Rav say, if he reaches age of pu'utos, he's 6 years old, so then you really should give it back to him. Because he's 6 years old, then he can make Mekach HaMemkar, it might be his, so give it back to him. At least you have a 50-50 chance that you did what's right, you gave it back to him. If you keep it, you know the real owner doesn't have it. But if they're less than 6 years old, so giving it back to him will be like throwing it down the drain. So that'll be a machlokas whether it's the right thing to do. And the Gemara suggests to buy a school, buy a sefer Torah with that money for the katan. And it could be that it's even ma'akiv, the way the Rashbam understands it, the way the Rambam and the Shach would understand it.